I'm wondering, some of you might be familiar with this phrase, and it goes something like, I don't remember what the beginning is, but about you're so focused on the trees you can't see the forest. There's some variation to that about the trees and the forest. You can't see the trees throughout the forest. I don't remember exactly. But that was one of the, when I was working for the Forest Service, that was one of the things we said sometimes is that you can't see the forest for all the trees. And I was thinking about that because that came up this week as I was working on my sermon. Because there are so many things within our passage of Luke this today that people focus on certain ones. And they hyper-focus almost to the point where they take it out of context. Instead of understanding what Luke is trying to communicate within the whole book versus each chapter, even though in the olden days there wasn't a chapter. He just wrote a whole letter and people read the whole letter. Can you imagine reading, I don't know, how many chapters in Luke in one day? That'd be like a whole day. But anyway, so my thought is that we get focused on certain verses within this passage. And my thought was to kind of pull back from that and look at the overall idea, kind of theme that Luke was putting forth. And I was thinking about discipleship. Because Christ is sending them out. He's sending 70 out this first round to go preach the word. And he's kind of instructing them what to expect, what not to take, and so that they can have not quite over expectations of this grand, we're going to go, we're going to do this, and it's going to be great. Because he pre-warns them. He warns them that I'm sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. To be mindful that you're not going to be always welcomed with great arms wide open, shouting, welcome, peace, welcome. That they're going to get that pushback sometimes of those that aren't quite ready to receive the word, to receive the message of peace, to receive the understanding that there's this Savior there for everyone who loves them. There are some that aren't ready for that, which at times can be baffling and not quite upsetting, but just kind of like where you get that rubbed the wrong way. When you try to go to someone and you try to like just tell them all these great things that God has done for you, and they kind of just like, oh, that's nice. Or, I don't believe that. But I was thinking about this idea of discipleship. That for those Christ is sending out, he's telling them these ideas and things to hold on to not take your things with you, but to just receive what you receive along the road, in the towns, and hospitality that you receive. Those are the gifts that you take. And that gifts of God's love and understanding that he passes on to them. But it's hard sometimes because we get this idea that discipleship, that being a disciple of God is going to be this great grand adventure and there's going to be no pushback. There's going to be great things coming to us. When then we have to remember kind of the other side. Because besides extending peace and being courteous to one another and being hospitable to one another, there are those times, like when Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a German Lutheran prophet, that wrote about the cost of discipleship, that it's not this grand thing all the time, but there's going to be the resistance. There's going to be the imprisonment. And we may even encounter, like Christ, like some of the other prophets did, that they may encounter death. But it's remembering that our paths do not look all the same. There are those that are intentionally called to be prophets, There's those intentionally called to be priests, and there's those that are intentionally called to be disciples, to go out and share that love with anyone and everyone they encounter. And that we all have different paths of how we serve God, how we understand God, and yet we're all part of the bigger community that worship and love and hold on to those core beliefs that God's love is for all, that peace is given and extended freely, along with that grace that envelops us and helps us to make it through the next step. And there's those that we witness to. And as we are called upon our arrival, that there's that love of God that we each hold on to. That there's a same devotion to serve God in whatever capability, capacity that we are able to. Whether it's hugging one another or sharing that love through service, through gifts, through however that we might be able. And it changes. I've noticed throughout the years that the gifts that I have and the gifts that I'm able to share change. And as I talked with people in the nursing home that are reaching a certain age, and they say, I can't do what I used to do. How am I still serving God? I'd say, just by being alive and smiling at your nurses, being kind to those that you encounter in the hall that sometimes you might want to be grumpy with. But we still serve a purpose. I say we still serve and learn new things about God, even unto our death. And it's finding ways and getting creative in our thinking, writing cards, calling people, praying for people, as we continue on our path of serving God. And it's finding ways to work through the rejections that we just let it kind of like duck backs, as I tell my kids. You gotta just let it slide off your back like a duck does water. And to continue to offer that grace and speak our truths to those that we encounter. And as I was saying, it's extending that peace, finding and discovering our gifts that aren't going to be grand, not all the time. But it's that importance of not giving up, of sharing what we can with others, looking for opportunities and even making our own opportunities for service and sharing your story. Because your story speaks volumes of God's love and grace and peace to all. And the possibilities that we have of discipleship are limitless, as God is limitless. And we simply remain open and willing to the ways that God is calling us to serve. Amen.